Meanwhile, he tried to go through the motions in not been together. Christmas came and went. December gave way to January, and the Christmas lights stayed up. Through the long, cold, snowy winter nights, the lights burned bright. February, March, and then the April rains came. The lights persevered. My neighbors knew why, but passers-by would look and wonder why, in May, our house was lit up. Well, like a Christmas tree. The lights are the link to my son. They represent our special time together, and I refuse to remove them. They would remain on, waiting for Kurt's return. The last of May, we got the news we've been waiting to hear. He was on his way home. The day had finally arrived. He walked through the door of the high school gym 3 minutes early at 8:27 a.m. on the morning of June 5th, 2005. After 15 long months, he was finally home. We pulled up in our driveway. He got out, looked at the bushes, and smiled. They were lit up as brightly as they had been on that Christmas day. He accused me of being lazy. Quickly added, "You were just waiting for me to come home and help you, weren't you?" I nodded in agreement. We left them on until the 4th of July. In a warm summer day, my son and I removed them. Christmas was not the same that year, but the memories and traditions were in our hearts, and Christ's love and protection brought my son safely home. Some families light candles. 2004 is a year I will always remember as the year when our Christmas lights remain lit, long after the holidays had passed, serving as a beacon of hope, not necessarily just for my son, but for all who are away, that they too will be protected and reunited with their loved ones someday soon.
1954, when my husband was five, he, his two brothers, and sister moved with his parents to Alaska, to homestead in a small valley in what is now the Chilkoot State Lake State Recreation Area, about 12 miles outside of Haines. The trip from the homestead to Haines included a four-mile lake across Chilkoot Lake, and had to be made whenever they needed to stock up on food and supplies. They built a small log cabin that had no electricity and no running water. A 55-gallon drum was converted into a stove of sorts and provided all the light and heat for the home. Once a month, as a treat, they would back up the log skidder to the house and use its battery to power a light bulb to allow them to read or play a game together as a family after dark. Since there were no telephones or two-way radios with which to communicate between town and the homesteads, the folks in Haines kept good track of the homesteaders. When they came into town for supplies, homesteaders would check in with friends. That way, if they didn't come back in the expected amount of time for more supplies, the town folks would be aware that there might be a problem. As winter approached, the family started to prepare. They worked hard to store enough wood and schedule a trip into town to stock up on food. Unfortunately, before they could make the trip, an unexpected storm moved in, and within 2 days, the house was buried under 5 feet of snow. The trip was no longer an option. As the days progressed, the remaining food supplies started to dwindle and the family began to worry. Because they were late for the next expected trip into town, a family friend became concerned for their well-being. He contacted the Army Corps of Engineers and arranged for them to airdrop food to the family. He also arranged for an added surprise. It was Christmas Eve and the snow was falling heavily when the plane entered the valley. The family became aware of it when the silence was interrupted by the sound of the engine. They emerged from the log cabin in time to see the plane approaching the house and a package being pushed out of the plane. The parachute opened and the box floated to the ground. As the plane flew on, they saw three more packages being pushed out, and they watched as each one hit the ground. The first three landed near the cabin, while the fourth drifted away and out of sight. They ran toward the first package, about 200 yards from their home, and dragged it back to the house, which was no small feat, as it took the three of them to do it. They then set out and retrieved the second and the third packages, each of which landed farther from the house than the one before. They never could locate the fourth package, and to this day do not know what happened to it. Once they had retrieved the three packages they could find, they began opening them. The first and second contained the much-needed food, but the third contained the surprise. The family friend had purchased and wrapped Christmas presents for the whole family and arranged to have them flown in with the food. That Christmas, the kindness of one man saved a family from starving and brought Christmas joy to the small homestead in the Alaska wilderness.
Oh. Christmas they aged, not for myself, but for a world in need. No more lives torn apart, wars would never start, and time would heal our hearts.
Shut up, Daniel! he got some kind of call to talk about it. You know, he hasn't stopped playing once. This whole evening, he did all the charts, all the orchestrations, all the arrangements. Our musical director, Jesse Gardis. Special thanks to Kim Reese, Chris Wilson, Nancy Lake, and Suzanne Willey, who provided our stories for us this evening. And she will be here with us. Favorite Christmas shows, I believe, already, and I think it's going to be one of my favorite tours because it gives us an opportunity not just to do a show that we love to do every single year, and sing songs that we love to sing and talk about a season that we love so much, but it also gives us an opportunity to meet some of you and allow you to share some of your stories with us, and I think that'll probably be the best gift that any of us get this year, because I'll be honest with you, I've read about 1,500 of these things. And they are some amazing stories. And if you're going to be with us at any other shows, you'll be blessed, hopefully, by them as much at other shows as I'm sure you were tonight. We talk every single year as we close our show about the same thing. And I hope you do it every year. If you've come to our shows in the past, just lightly applaud. Just kind of give me a... We talk about this every year, and I hope you do it. I hope that the message that we give to you in our last song every year is something that you take out of the building with you and you spread it around to everyone. The last song talks about not waiting until the final month of the year to tell the people beside you, to tell the people around you how much you love them. So right now, turn to the person you're with. Give them a big hug, even if you don't know them. Tell them how much you care about them. And tell them you're not going to wait. Tell them you're not going to wait until next year to tell them how much you love them next time. Our challenge to you for 2008, once again, is to not wait until December to let the people that you care about know how much you care about.